What's up, everybody? Welcome into a Friday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter for your Houston Texans, alongside the voice of the Texans, who's blowing into his hands as if it's cold in here, and it's
cold
not.
In the stadium.
Mark, how are you doing?
Johnny, it's cold in the stadium. This is the little-known secret of NRG Stadium, that the air conditioning blasts. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
It's actually really good in the summer, although when you come in from the 100-degree heat, you can get the polarizing effect, and you got to watch that. But I'm not complaining, but you were asking why I was blowing into my hands. That's why.
No, I know you're not complaining. I get that. I just this room is always sort of hot to me, but then again,
I think it's cooling off. It was getting warmer.
A little bit.
Things happen temperature-wise here that are great mysteries of life, and we don't really have control over them,
this
which
is
fine. Again, not complaining. One thing that is notable is the smell has returned to more of a football odor than the rodeo, if you know what I'm saying. I don't mind the rodeo smell because, it's the rodeo. It's here. I love the rodeo, but then the rodeo leaves, and it's like, okay, it's time for the rodeo to go, and now we're back to football.
Okay. And football is where we're going tonight, obviously. We are going to talk with Jimmy Ward here in just a second, but we're also going to have Christian Harris, who joined Drew Doherty last week as well. So we got a few minutes with Christian. And in the lab, that's Drew Doherty and myself, we did our mock draft exercise, and we obviously did some trades and some things, moved around, etc. But we're going to start with Jimmy Ward right here first, because we had a chance to catch up with him, and he just rocketed up the list of interviews that we would do a second time, a third time, a hundredth time. Here's Jimmy Ward with Mark and I.
Jimmy, here you are, salty veteran, but after your first year with the Texans going into year two, what are your feelings, thoughts, offseason, how's it all going?
Offseason is going great. Been working out and watching ESPN and seeing all the amazing moves that we're making right now, free agency, getting me excited, ready from OTAs, play with your new team, play with my new teammates and see some familiar faces. Speaking of familiar faces, Aziz.
Yeah.
I get to play with him again. So that's going to be very interesting.
Okay. So put on your general manager hat. And give us a scouting report on Aziz. Now, we saw him twice last year. We know he can ball, but you've been around him. You know him. What can you tell us about Aziz, Jimmy?
He loves football. He cares about football a lot, and he's real angry. He's real angry.
Okay.
He plays with a chip on his shoulder. Miko really he coached him. He coached him from a young pup all the way until he was older. Because Miko was his position coach, and he got the best out of him, I tell you that. And I know in front of Aziz, it was Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. But anytime he had his opportunity, Aziz had his opportunity, he went in and he did what he needed to do. And that's the reason why he ended up getting that starting job for Tennessee Titans. And he went over there, balled. And Miko was trying to get him that year before. And I don't know what happened with him, Nick, and Miko, whatever. They couldn't get the deal done. So he still had that chip on his shoulder. So he left that chip on his shoulder when he played against us.
Yep,
that's why he was a tackling machine. And next thing you know, we're signing Aziz.
That's awesome. Jimmy Ward with us. All right, more general manager scouting report stuff on Danielle Hunter, who was also acquired.
Danielle Hunter. I watched a little bit of his game. I feel like he fills the hole. That's exactly what we needed. Obviously, you've been seeing how free agents have been going for us.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to play with him. I haven't watched too much film on it.
Okay.
But I heard good things about him, like around other players, around my peers, around the league. So I really think it was a great pickup.
Jimmy, from a safety's perspective in the NFL, and you've been around for a little bit, so you know some stuff. Mm-hmm. When you play behind a pass rush, that when you add Danielle Hunter to Will Anderson, Danico Autry coming in, when you're playing as a safety behind that pass rush, are you taking a few more calculated risks because you know those guys are getting to the quarterback, or are you trying to play it as straight up as possible?
Well, in this type of defense, all you got to do is just do your job. But the crazy thing is, like, eventually the quarterback's either going to get tired of getting hit, or they're just going to, get hit. Yeah. So that's when sometimes the balls just go crazy and somebody gonna catch a pick, whether it's the second level, whether that's the cornerbacks, or whether that's the safety. It just depends on the play call. Yep. But with that rush right now that we got, and then not only are the rush plays the pass, but you know they're two sided. You know they're gonna play the run first. You know, so that's what I'm very happy about. Just being able, like, to have defensive linemen, defensive ends, to play the run first, then the pass.
All right, so you were part of teams in San Francisco that would make the playoffs, have some success, and get back and do it again. What's the key to getting back there, to getting back to the big stage, the divisional round? I know you want to go beyond that, but it's hard to even get there. So for a team, a pretty young team that got there last year, what do these guys need to remember? Everybody needs to remember to get back and
just,
beyond.
Just remember that we didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's really it. Like, we didn't do anything. And even if we did win the Super Bowl, it's a new year.
Yeah.
So everything that you did in the previous year, it doesn't matter. You know why? Because everybody's going to forget.
Yeah.
That happened last season. So now it's about what you did this season. Okay, everybody got a clean slate. No matter if you had a bad season, no matter if you had a good season, no matter if you was unhealthy, no matter if you were healthy. Okay, you get to do it again.
Yeah.
So this time, that's what people going to remember. People are going to remember the last game you played. So what you going to do?
Jimmy, I talked to you after the Jacksonville game. I asked for you as a player of the game. You kind of looked at me like, why? And I said, because this defense plays different when you're in it. This defense seems to play, whether it's your edge, whether it's your fearlessness, whatever it is, this defense sort of channels it with the way that you played. And it was like week three against Jacksonville. You could see it on the field with you flying around. Did you sense and do you sense how valuable that is, just that alone, to this defense?
Yeah, I didn't realize it because it was just me being me and just me being around, like, San Francisco, where I played at a year before. And I just remember, like, during the pregame season, it was just, I know when the DBs came out with the fullbacks, you know, somebody said something. It used to be Juice.
Yeah.
Juice to say something to fullback from San Fran. And then sometimes it used to be a tight end to say something. Then we go back out there, and then sometimes it's Kittle that say something. Then it's Fred that say something. But it's so many multiple guys that's just talking and just, you know, saying something. Sometimes somebody else may need that information that you're talking about,
right,
that you're giving, and it might pick another guy up. No, I was never a big rah-rah guy at all. And then it just, when I got, I just started to develop as I got older. But when I got here and I saw, like, how quiet everything was,
right,
and I was like, okay, this is not going to work. We need music, and we need some guys to talk. And I felt like in my heart, I feel like I needed to step up.
Yep.
And I feel like, okay, I got to talk. And when I did it, and I sat back down in my locker, and Shaq, never forget, Shaq Mason was like, hey, man, yeah, you're going to have to start doing that every game. I was like, yeah, Lee. I was like, hey, man. It's like we're going to have some people. So now I was telling him, man, we got to get some more people to talk. You know, it's cool to hear somebody else's voice.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to get Kristen to do it. I was trying to get Petrie to do it. I was trying to get Steve to do it. Just, you know, kind of nudge him, you know, push him a little bit. Hey, man, just say something. You can say anything.
Right.
Like, guys going to live you. Listen, you can keep it short. You can keep it sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter, but when it's time to break it down in the team, like in front of the team right before the game, it's not many guys that want to do that. Or obviously you don't want to lose, but you know, sometimes you got to be that guy to break it down, you know, after a loss, and that's never good. Sometimes you don't know what to say. You don't know what to say to a team, you know, to pick them up. But I guess, you know, I play so much ball. It's like, hey man, it's not the last game of the season.
Right.
We still got a lot of football left, and man, yes, just, you know, get back to the playbook, go practice hard, and yes, win the next one.
Yep.
Jimmy Ward with us. After, was it the Denver or the Cardinals game when you got on the microphone with Drew?
It was Denver.
And you said, stand up, H-Town. We did this for you. It was great. It was a very memorable post-game live in the stadium interview. And I remember that moment. And I think, well, how is it for you, H-Town, the whole spirit of the city and seeing everybody respond to what the Texans are doing? And how do you like it here, basically?
Oh, I love it. And piggybacking on what you were saying, I remember I said that. And you know what else I said? And I was like, and then I end up getting hurt again. So I was like, oh. And I was like, and each week it was like, oh, Houston's not in the playoffs. Houston's in the playoffs. Houston's not in the playoffs. And I remember saying, after I said it, I said, we're going to go to the playoffs. And I went home and I was like, ah, I hope we need to go to the playoffs because somebody, you know, people keep receipts. So I didn't want to be that guy on the meme. But, nah, but I love H-Town. Everything's better in Texas. Is it better or is it bigger?
It's bigger, but it is better too.
I feel like it's both. Yeah. I definitely love the city. I love the culture. I love the food. I love the people. You know, it's the South.
Yeah.
And I just experienced the rodeo the other day, It was amazing. I never been to
So did you watch the actual events or just the concert?
No, both.
Oh, good.
Like, it was amazing. Yeah. Like, my best part was when the kiddos got on the sheep.
Calf scramble. Oh, the mutton buster.
Mutton buster.
All right, yeah. The little kids.
That was hilarious, man. It's fun. Wow, they even got events for kids out here. I was like, man, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Could you hang on to an animal like that? I mean, it is pretty tough.
I got to hang on to Derrick Henry.
Exactly. Jimmy, as you go into, what's this going to be for you? You were 2014, so this is year 11?
Yes, sir.
You're going into a conditioning. You're going to OTAs. Mm-hmm. You would think somebody who's been around the league 11 years, you're like, I got to get through that. I got to get through this. But you can also use that period to get better. How do you kind of look at OTAs in the offseason?
Well, you just said it. I look at it to get better. I look at it to build chemistry with the team and just to be around the guys. You know, that's what it's all about, you know, get used to each other. And just, you know, I know the playbook, obviously. Yeah. But, I don't know, sometimes you got to, you know, get some dirt off your shoulder, you know, knock the rust off. Right. So, and it's fun. It's football. It's working out. Yep. It keeps me in shape, keeps me young.
All right, Jimmy, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, thank you for having me.
Mark, Jimmy's just so wonderful. He's so fun to talk to.
The Jimmy Ward show.
It would be good.
It would be good.
It would be good.
It would be. I'd love to hear him opine on all sorts of things in life, not just football.
Yeah.
Really entertaining guy.
Okay. We're going to try a little bit, not a different game, but we're going to have our mock draft exercise that Drew and I did on In the Lab. You got a chance here in the lab, but we were talking a little bit more about specific defensive tackle things, other things. And so the second part of it was we did a mock draft exercise. So it was good stuff. It ended up on the cutting room floor, but I thought, you know what? Let's bring it back for Friday. So we're going to have that a little bit
later. Wait, but it's
later
still on the podcast, right?
Yeah, it's still on the podcast. Okay. Yeah. It didn't make it to our All Access show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it definitely made the cut.
Wait, has a radio program ever been recorded and not aired?
Yes, it has.
The Final Coaches Show.
Final Coaches
with
Show.
With Bill O'Brien. We actually did an entire coaches show with him. And then later on that day, Bill O'Brien dismissed. And guess what? Didn't make air. Now, it would have been a great show if we could have done it after that.
Right.
And I think he would have done it, actually, because he did a press conference.
Yeah.
But we couldn't ask him to redo it at that point.
Yeah, we were going to go with what we had. Here's another one. I'll give you the year. See if you remember. 2018.
2018, we did a... Oh, was... Well, 2019...
2018. Nope. 2018.
I'll give you a 2019 one in a moment.
I know 2019. I know that one.
Okay.
2018, we had we recorded two shows.
In case we got Tyrann Mathieu?
That's exactly right. We had two shows. We had recorded two shows because we weren't sure which one it was going to be. And so we're like, all right, here's the plan. We're going to record this and have them both ready to go. And then at 6 o'clock, if nothing has happened, send this one. So we had that one. Hey, we've signed Tyrann Mathieu. 7:15 that night, we signed Tyrann Mathieu. Show was over, so we had a chance to talk
about it. Full disclosure, sometimes we record the show.
Yeah, sometimes we record the show.
But we always
On a day in like April, on a Friday, and it's beautiful outside, that's what I remember happening.
Well, and nothing is going to happen. Nothing big is going to happen.
And that's what we thought in 2019, too. We thought that was going to happen, and then our whole world got...
And then Brian Gain got fired, that changed the program.
Immensely.
And you were on vacation or something.
I was about to go.
Wait.
That Friday...
No, I did that show alone.
Not the Friday show.
I think
you
it was
did the Monday, Tuesday shows.
I think I did the Friday show.
because I was reading the Cal McNair statement.
You know what it was? You know what it was? It happened on like a Wednesday.
I thought it was a Friday.
I don't know. Either way, we had to discard an entire show and start all over again, which, you know, it happens. That's what goes on. So
let's air the unaired Bill O'Brien Coaches Show following the Week 4 loss to Minnesota. Everybody ready for that one? No.
You know what I don't remember?
What?
The Week 4 loss to Minnesota. I don't remember anything
You know what
from
I remember
that
about that game? That was a very significant moment because prior to the game, it was COVID, but prior to the game, a photo was taken because they were all here together of, at the time, the only three head coaches in the history of the franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Bill O'Brien, Gary Kubiak, Minnesota's offensive coordinator, or whatever his title was, because was Stefanski there then? No, he wasn't there anymore. But Bill O'Brien, Gary Kubiak, and Dom Capers was a senior assistant of sorts for the Vikings, and they posed for the picture together as the only three head coaches in Texans history. Could we get those three, with David Culley, Lovey, and D'Amico Ryans all together for a picture? It's not going to happen.
Okay, let's move on at this point. So here's what I thought. Just kind of, I was thinking through this. I'm putting together my mock draft version two, where now the Texans have picks 42 and 59. So we're going to play, we'll call it the scale. Okay?
All right.
I'm going to give you a statement. You give me one, no way in hell, 10, absolutely rock solid guarantee.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, the Texans will absolutely pick at both 42 and 59. Scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, so 1 is...
10 is absolute truth, 1 is no way.
I would say it's a 2.
Okay.
It's a 2. One of those two is going. One of those two.
Okay.
So I
think it's going to go up or going to go down?
I think if anything, 42 stays. I would say the most likely, let's go more likely to happen. Okay. Most likely scenario is 42 stays, 59 goes.
Okay. 59 goes.
Yeah.
Or maybe not goes, but moves.
Well, moves somewhere. Moves up, moves down, whatever, packages. Gotcha. Next year, hey, how about at 44? There's another player that you really want. You give them next year's 2, maybe that's too much. Next year's 3, and you move up to that 44th spot, take the player you want. Now that I'm going to talk myself out of this 42
but
thing.
But the question really is, are they staying at 42, 59?
No, one of those two at the very least is going to move.
So you're giving it a 2.
Yeah.
I'm probably there. The more I think about it as I've gone through this mock draft, the other thing I've considered is, okay, who could they trade down with? Like what, or trade up with? Yeah. What would they be trading up for? That's really kind of the question to me. So here's a second one.
Okay.
The Texans will trade back into the first round at either pick 30, 31, or 32.
I'm going to
say 1 to 10. 1, no way in hell. 10, absolute.
Well, I would say 1, but I'll give it a 2 because I think there's a slight chance. I think it's going to cost a lot to move up from 42 to 31, 32, that kind of thing. So I'm going to say it's really unlikely that they move back into the first round.
Okay. So just so kind of aware, to get to pick 32, that's Kansas City's pick right now.
Yeah.
If you're just going with the Hill value chart, the Texans have pick 42. That's 480 points. Kansas City, that's 590. That's a difference of 110 that you'd have to make up. 110 points is roughly it's a supplementary third-round pick.
I think it costs
you more
than that.
Spots.
Yeah, but I think there's a perceived value of that.
Of going back up in the first round.
Getting that extra year in the rookie deal. So even
I think
going
that's a major thing.
10 spots, whatever it's going to be. I think it costs you, maybe a third. I think a higher third it costs you. And they don't have that.
Is there a... Would you do it for a particular player, i.e., I really feel like the one player you might do it for because you don't think you'll get to 42 because he's so different from everybody else in this position is Devondre Sweat.
Okay, so let's say Sweat is there. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Would you give up your 3 this year? Well, you have 2 threes, right?
You have 2 fours.
2 fours.
2 fours.
So your 3 is a fairly late 3.
Yep.
You give up your 3 this year and a 4 next year. 3 and a 4. A 24-3 and a 25-4 to move up. late in the first to get Sweat.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I want that's that what fifth year. That that to me would be a 7 or an 8.
But here's the thing: I think that that could cost you based on the player available. There, that's the other thing. There's a marquee value of certain players.
Sure,
it's not just a pick. That's right. Why you always point this out. These value charts in the draft trade prospects. Mm-hmm. These value charts, they're a guideline. They're not the ultimate truth.
Correct, correct.
What was the workup on the Will Anderson deal? I mean, I know that was a completely different animal. You're moving up to number 3 overall in the draft.
I mean, because you had...
Did they overpay in terms of points? I believe so,
I think they did.
Yeah, but
based on points. But, you know, how do you... At that point, and when you did the trade at that point, the calculus for the Texans' first-round pick... So, just to show you... There's a discount. I think it's like a 10 or 15% discount in points when you go to a future year. Well, if you think that the Texans, as a lot of people did, were going to be one of the 3 worst teams in the league, so split the middle. Say they ended up with the number 2 overall pick, okay?
Yeah.
That's 2,600 points. So even if you discount that at 10%, you're talking about 2,300 points.
Yeah.
Well, the Texans ended up at 27. The difference in points, that's 680. So by the math of what was happening at that time, yeah, you probably lost the points because people weren't considering that first-round pick.
Do you have the chart in front of you?
I do.
What's a fifth-round pick?
A fifth-round pick, mid-fifth-round pick. Well, let's just say mid-fifth-round pick is worth nothing. It's like, well, it's nothing. It's 31 points.
So 31 points.
31 points.
What's a fourth worth?
Mid-fourth would be double that, like 64, 60, 62, 64.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't get value until you get up to these higher rounds.
You got it. Yep. That's how it's perceived.
Yeah.
That's how it's perceived.
So it makes sense because you're not going to... It's like those calls you get when you're doing talk radio with the phone lines open. Hey, let's trade our entire team for this guy. It doesn't work that way because... That one player that you want from the other team is worth way more than a bunch of individuals who are not superstars or at least star-level players. So that's how it works.
I'm going to go back and look at the value of that Arizona trade points-wise just to see how it came out. Because I guarantee you when people were doing the math on that, they were anticipating, oh, hey, we're anticipating the Texans not being so good. So that's going to be a really valuable pick. And then they ended up being number 27, and now you look and go, oh, wait a second. First of all, you kind of know the player that Will Anderson's turning out to be.
Yeah.
But you also know that they got the 27th pick. So I'm going to go back and do the points.
I love how all this stuff has worked out because you look at the Cleveland situation where, yeah, and we all know what happened. Once you beat them in the playoffs, you assured yourself a better selection, and you did the right thing, giving up your pick instead of theirs.
Absolutely.
In that deal.
Last one on the scale. Picks 42, 59. Say they do end up staying there. Those two picks will be a corner and a wide receiver. Scale of 1 to 10. 1 being no way. 10 being absolute lock.
1.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone is so high on receiver. And as I say this, they'll probably take a receiver. I don't see it. I do not see it.
Did I change my mock draft?
You might. You're talking rounds 2 and 3.
No, 42 and 59, your 2 second-rounders.
Oh, no way. No way. Nope. Not going there.
Really?
I don't believe it. Too high. I would say in the third round, you're going to go
wide receiver.
Yeah.
So wide receiver. So Texans have the 86 pick overall.
Mm-hmm.
That is decently down. That's about two-thirds of the way down in the third round. So you say no to receiver at 59.
I haven't locked
anything in. Talk me out of it. I have a corner at 42. Do you agree with that?
Look, hang on. Yeah, I do agree with that.
Okay.
I think that looks good.
Yeah.
I think with cornerback right now, look, they have a lot of things that could work out. I think between the two marquee guys, I bill them as marquee players because they were drafted high. I know things haven't worked out for them.
Yeah.
But when you look at those players, the hope is, I'm thinking, one of those two works out for us, right?
Yep.
One of those two has to come through and play the way the team that drafted him envisioned. So there's that.
Yes.
But you're still going to insure against that.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to draft Ben Tate. You know, you drafted Ben Tate knowing that Arian Foster was probably going to be pretty good, not as excellent as he turned out to be,
right?
But probably pretty good. But you still needed to get that stalwart in there. How about running back? They haven't addressed that beyond Joe Mixon and Damian, who I want to see Damian return to his 2022 form. But I think running back, along the way is a position they'll definitely look at.
So you know what I have happening in my mock draft? I have RB1. Well, he's actually not RB1 for me, but I just, the more I thought about it, the team that I have taking a running back, and I'm not totally set on this. I've looked at it a few times, and I'm not totally sure. But when you look at the depth chart, you realize, man, there's one guy, and that's it. I have the Indianapolis Colts taking a running back in the second round.
What? Wait.
Yeah.
Why?
They have listen to the running back depth chart for the Indianapolis Colts. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor. Heard of him?
Yes.
Yeah, he's pretty good. You heard of Evan Hull?
Not much.
You heard of, well, you know of Tyler Goodson because yeah, he dropped the ball.
We know what happened.
Trey Sermon. Xavier Scott.
Mm.
For a team that you would think wants to run the ball, they're going to run Taylor into...
Wait, wasn't it Goodson and Sermon who ran the daylights out of it against, who was it, Pittsburgh
in
one game?
Yeah, like a week before.
They were on the march, man. They were running the ball well with that O-line.
I know.
I would look at it and go, surprised that they drafted a back. If any team can afford... Now, look, you have Mixon here, and you have the prospect of Damian Pierce returning to 2022 form.
Right.
I was having this conversation with Vanderkid. He said, Dad, what makes you think Damian Pierce... you know, he loves Damian, but he's wanting to know. I said, look, he's got so much talent.
Yep.
He's got enough talent where he touches the ball on a kickoff, goes 75 yards for a touchdown.
Right.
That's talent.
Ran away from everybody.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Totally.
He's got the talent. Got to figure it out, okay?
Dang it, but you're going to make me redo this Colts thing?
I still want one. I want a running back somewhere along the way, and that might be too early as well. Eh, maybe you're
making
right.
me think about it. I'll put it this way. The guy that I have penciled in at 59 for the Texans looks more like a running back than he does a wide receiver. I think he could play that kind of wide back position that they kind of use Deebo Samuel in. So he's got some running back abilities. He's got tremendous running back abilities, but he's more a receiver type. I don't know if I should tell you this because now I'm thinking about changing it, but I'm thinking about putting Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky there. 5'11", 215, really good runner after the catch. Like, you could play him at running back if you wanted to. So he gives you kind of both. That's why
it's
I went with him.
It's going
to
be a big element of this offense. I think that's going to be an added dimension. You
so knowing
it
that,
already, who's a good
do you move your number?
Catcher.
Do you move your number from one up a little bit if I leave Malachi Corley there?
Just because
of the way he can run the ball.
Wait, but I said one based on receiver. And he's a receiver?
He's a receiver, but he's kind of can play like
saying.
Deebo Samuel.
Yeah. Two. One and a half, two.
Okay. So if I put a running back there, so if I go cornerback, running back, how would you feel?
Feel fine. I think receiver third round.
Okay. So 1 to 10, cornerback and running back, you would say 7?
No. I would say because the field is more likely to happen. They're going to get somebody you're not expecting. There's going to be a great punter that no, they're not going to do that. But
that's
you know
just
what I'm
about
saying.
The spot where the running backs start coming off the board, though. You know,
yeah,
you can get the number one running back there, I think, because the Colts are picking. I can't remember where I have the Colts picking, but
all I know is Friday night is going to be so frustrating when the night begins and you're seeing name after name come off the board. You're wondering, are they going to move up? Are they going to move up? Because we're going to know all those. We're going to be talking about those names available that didn't get picked in the first round all day long, and we're going to be on pins and needles. But look, let Nick cook and figure it out.
That's why I went with Malachi Corley, but I don't know. You might be changing my mind. Might be changing my mind. I just don't like the defense tackle value there. I think the edge value there is not there. I feel like the value is wide receiver, running back. I think those two for sure. All right, we get back. We're going to talk to Christian Harris. Well, Drew Doherty is going to talk to Christian Harris, and that'll happen next on Texans All Access. What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to this Friday edition of Texans All Access. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter. Appreciate Jimmy Ward for being by. And by the way, if you want to check out my mock draft, it'll be probably posted on Monday. I got to refine some things. I don't know if I'm going to change my mind on who I selected because I feel pretty good about the wide receiver that I picked for the Texans. But who knows? So I got the weekend, but go check it out, footballtakeover.com. If you've been checking my Twitter feed, at Jay Harris Football, you've seen all the stuff I've been putting up there, the draft stuff, footballtakeover.com. Check out HoustonTexans.com for all my position breakdowns. I wrote up on Danico Autry. I wrote up on Danico Hunter. So make sure you're checking all that out as well. Now, one of the guys that we have gotten over the last, man, it's weird. He's going into his third year. It feels like he's been here forever. And then it's only his third year, so it feels like he hasn't been here forever. And that's Christian Harris. He sat down with Drew. They waxed poetic about the season and a lot of other things. Let's hear from Christian Harris with our man Drew Doherty.
You've seen some of the moves that have been made by this team. How excited are you right now?
Man, I'm stoked. I've been at the facility since February 19th with a lot of the guys working out. And, I mean, we're excited, you know, just really just extra motivation for all of us coming into this season, you know, focused with one thing on our mind, which is that Super Bowl.
I know you wanted to get right, get healthy, et cetera, but talking to a lot of these guys that you play with, you guys were ready to rock the day after the Ravens game, and you wanted to play again.
100%. I mean, you got to love this sport, and I mean, obviously, it's tough to take a loss. You take a couple weeks off, but you got to get right back to it. You don't start winning games like that in January or the end of January, so those things kind of start in the offseason right now, you know, February, March.
What were you doing besides working out of the facility? Did you get away and get to any time to yourself?
Me and my girlfriend took a little trip, like 4 days. Got away for a little bit, and really after that, we just came back here. Just kind of been chilling out in Houston the whole time, staying close to the facility.
Linebacker Christian Harris. A couple weeks ago, D'Amico Ryans was at the combine. He was asked about you, and he said last year was a bit like a rookie year for you, and you started coming on. How excited are you in this defense? Let's talk about some of these other additions later, but just this defense in year two.
Man, I'm really excited to see, really as a defense for everybody as a whole, to see how far we go, as far how far we can come together as a unit. You know, we got some new pieces, so we obviously all got to gel together, get that chemistry rolling, and, you know, I think we'll be able to do some really great things, so I'm obviously for sure looking forward to it.
Daniil Hunter, D'Anico Autry, in tandem with Will Anderson, what's that do for a guy like you?
Man, it makes it a lot easier for me on my job, cleaning it up for me. You know, those guys, they really, you just let them go and disrupt. You know, they've had a lot of success in this league. Will, already being a young guy, already has shown, you know, he can do a lot of great things. So, you know, just really making my job easier.
When you heard the news that we were getting Daniil Hunter, what was your first reaction?
I was just like, man, I'm trying to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, really with everybody, seeing around the whole league right now, it's a lot of big moves being made. So, I don't know if it's, you know, just because, you know, we're in it now, I'm paying more attention, that it seems more crazy, or...
Aziz Al-Shaair, that guy can play too, huh? He plays in that, he's going to be in the linebacker room with you too.
High energy. He has a motor with him. I've seen a couple of the highlights, and obviously I was watching throughout the season to learn, well, about how Coach D'Amico wants his linebackers to play. I watched a lot of his San Francisco film as well, so that was a guy I've had my eye on for a little while.
Linebacker Christian Harris. How about Derek Stingley? You obviously have a connection with him.
Yeah,
you weren't just, you know, he goes back, yeah. You know, back spectacle. What's that like going into year three with him?
Man, it's crazy. We said it actually, I think the first or second week we started working out, just like, man, it's year three. And I'm just like, yeah, we just keep going one day at a time, one year at a time. You know, you never know where God could take us.
The optimism is high. What do you want fans to know?
We working and we ready. Promise you, we hungry as ever. And just know that last year, that's the bottom, the floor, the foundation that we're building. We got a lot of greater things, a lot of more great things coming in the future.
Linebacker Christian Harris, good to be with you, my friend. Yes, best of luck in the offseason, number 48.
Thank you.
A lot of commotion and chaos and noise in the background, but still, it was good to get Christian on with Drew. Always great stuff with Christian Harris. So how about that? A little Jimmy Ward and a little Christian Harris. We've dominated this week with players, man. It's been awesome. We had Will. We had Tank. We had Jimmy Ward. We had Christian Harris. We've had all kinds of people. Jalen Petrie, I think, joined Drew at some point. So we've had a lot on the show, and we appreciate those guys for being by. All right, a little bit of news on the Texans. This happened last night. Forgot to get into it with Mark. Forgot about that. The Texans have added a defensive back. That is C.J. Henderson, drafted in the 2020 draft by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ended up moving to Carolina. There's a trade that Carolina made to acquire C.J. Henderson. So, doesn't mean he's a starter because he's a former first-rounder. Well, I think he was ninth overall in the same draft. Jeff Okuda was number three overall. So, look, the Texans, over the last couple of years, you've kind of seen the, I don't want to say it's a philosophy, but they've kind of bet low, and if it pays off, man, let's roll. I mean, how many players did they take over the last few years, and you're like, boy, they sent that guy to a one-year contract, and boy, he turned into a really good player. Now, I don't know if you'd say there was a risk to go sign Steven Nelson, but you didn't pay Steven Nelson a whole lot, really. On a two-year deal, and Steven Nelson was one of your better defensive players the last couple of years. So hopefully one of these guys, Jeff Okuda or C.J. Henderson, pans out, played at big-time universities. Jeff Okuda from Texas ended up playing at Ohio State. C.J. Henderson playing at the University of Florida. I've had some friends around the Florida program over the years, and they spoke very, very highly of C.J. Henderson. So, look, sometimes it's the right fit. It's the right situation. It's the right defense. It's the right city. It's the right head coach. It's the right defensive backs coach. It's the right defensive coordinator. It's the right way of saying things. And all those things click, and you're like, man, wow, look at that. Thinking about Kendrick Green last year. Man, I can't tell you the number of things I heard about Kendrick Green. Oh, man, he was one of the worst players ever seen in Pittsburgh. There is a national reporter who said some things to people in Houston about him, that he was the worst, just really, I mean, crushed him. And Kendrick Green turned out to be a really good player for the Texans for the first three games of the year. I just hated the fact that he got hurt in game four, but hopefully Kendrick will be back. But the point being, because the guy's been great somewhere or he's been horrible somewhere, doesn't mean that he'll continue to be that way. And, you know, take Danielle Hunter. I mean, you'd like to believe that he's going to continue his 16 and a half sacks, 23 TFL ways, right? You'd like to think that. But new situation, he's back home. Maybe it's more. Maybe it's less. Maybe it's right at it. Who knows? But hopefully the Texans get what they pay for. With Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson, you kind of, you know, you take that lottery scratch-off ticket and you think, okay, let's see what happens. Didn't cost us a whole lot. Let's see if it hits. We don't expect it to, but maybe we can get something out of it. And hopefully that's what happens with both Jeff Okuda, C.J. Henderson, as Kadar Holman was released. So they've added a couple of former first-rounders, and we'll see if one of those can click. It'd be kind of nice. Now, what did the Texans do in the draft? Well, Drew and I did an exercise for In the Lab. I want you to take a listen. That's next on Texans All Access. We got one final segment this Friday edition of Texans All Access. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter for your Houston Texans. I'm also one half of the In the Lab podcast with Drew Doherty and myself. Now, this weekend on In the Lab, or this week on In the Lab, we kind of, I don't know if we meant for it to come out this way, but we just had kind of two parts to it. We kind of talked a lot about what maybe the Texans might do, defensive tackle, kind of how first, you know, week or so free agency had gone. The second part was, well, it's our exercise, as we call it. We went to the mock draft simulator, and we put together a mock draft based on some of the trades that were presented. How many did we take? Who did we draft? We did that right here. So why not on a Friday? Let's go through that mock draft simulator and see who Drew and I came up.
It's time to do the exercise. What? You and I haven't done the exercise in weeks. And the exercise, if you haven't been with us before, is we go to profootballnetwork.com, their mock draft simulator. Yep. Because the Texans, they've moved around. They've shed some picks. They don't have a first rounder anymore, but they also got rid of a seventh. They also added a 188. So it's jiggled up. Yep. I've got the thing going. You always want to do seven rounds. You always want to go fast, and you always want to choose the Houston Texans. So the Texans are on the board now at 42. But John, before I tell you who's available, just keep this in mind. Cleveland wants 42 and 188 in exchange for 54.
Oh, and that's okay.
And right, next year's second rounder. That's enticing. Okay. So you'd move back 12 and you still have another second rounder this year, but you're 42 and 188 go. You get 54 and next year's second. And then also on the table, I'm not wild about this one, 42 and a seventh, your 247 for 76. That's a big move back. And Denver's second and Denver's third next year.
Let's get jiggy with it. Let's do the first one.
Okay.
So do that gonna, first trade.
But before we do, I just want to let you know who's on the board.
Okay.
Wide receiver from Texas, Adonai Mitchell. Penix is available.
Yep.
Tavondre Sweat at 41. He's third on the board. He's available.
Okay.
You also have an edge rusher, Adisa Isaac. Troy Franklin, the receiver from Oregon.
Yep.
Ruka Rororo. Man, this
good
is giving me
that
pause. Edrin Cooper is available as well, and he seems like a killer.
Okay. People know how much I like Edrin Cooper.
Yeah.
Linebacker one in the Harris 100 from 42 overall, ironically, in the Harris 100. My comp for him is Christian Harris.
Is that too redundant if you were to add a guy like that?
That's exactly right. Okay.
So you don't want him. Okay. Malachi Corley, Leonard Taylor, defensive tackle.
Okay. So what you're saying, you've said about four or five names that I kind of like. So let's make the deal. Let's get that second next year as well. So now we got 3 seconds next year, a first and 3 seconds next year. I like that. So let's do it.
Okay. We've made the deal, and there's another deal brewing with the Browns. They want 54 in exchange for 85, 156, next year's third and fourth. I say no thank you.
No, let's stay at 54.
Okay, Penix is still available. Devondre Sweat still available.
Bang it, Sweat. Let's do Sweat.
Over Ruka Rororo?
Yes, let's go Sweat.
Okay, so Sweat.
Let's get some size.
54.
Let's do it.
Pow, he's a Texan. Now we're picking again. You've got 59. Cleveland's back. They want 59 and 238 for 85, 156, 3 and 4. Nah. I say no.
No.
Yeah, and then the Vikings want the same, and they want to give you 108, 129, 157.
Okay.
There's 3 and 4. I don't
Before you that. Say no to that, before you say no real fast, let's hear who's on the board and see if there are few names.
I don't want that, dude.
Okay, like, then no, we're co-GMs on this. Cancel it.
Okay. Well, let's hear it out. Okay, okay. Penix is still there. Rororo, Taylor, Jatavion Sanders, tight end for Texas, but he's kind of a move tight end, and the Texans have that.
We have that.
Braylon Trice, an edge from Washington. Max Melton, corner is available.
Ooh.
Linebacker Cedric Gray is available.
I like both those guys. I like Melton a lot.
Raiden Fiske is available from Florida State. Bro Braid, safety out of Maryland. Do you like him?
It's okay. He's a box safety.
Okay, and this is one that makes me pause. Down, he's 70th, but I bet he flies off. Roman Wilson, wide receiver, Michigan.
Roman Wilson, we need wide receiver.
Yeah, okay, so we're not taking the deal. He's not anywhere near like the top of this board, but I like him, and you love him. So
Roman Wilson's a stud. Let's
do it. We've added Roman Wilson. Mm-hmm. Now we're into the third round, 86. All right, this is an intriguing offer. 86 and 247, which you always want to kind of dump your sevens, don't you?
Seemingly.
To move back 10 spots to 96 with Jacksonville, and you get their fourth next year. But let me let you know who's available. Marshawn Neyland, an edge, is available.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen McMillan, receiver from Washington, is available. You just took Roman Wilson.
Right.
Do you like Braylon Allen, the running back from Wisconsin? Do you like Trevin Wallace, the linebacker from Kentucky? Those are some possibilities.
Who else you got below that?
Down lower at 90, at 100.
Wait, did you say Marshawn Neyland? Neyland's there?
Marshawn Neyland is top of your board, yeah.
Mm. I like that guy a lot. He would be a steal at 86, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Add to strength to strength.
Okay. So we got that. Now we're dipping into the fourth round. You got a couple there. You got 1, 2, 3. Pick 1, 2, 3. Saints are offering 150, 168, 190. I'm not interested. You've got Cade Stover, one of CJ Stroud's old targets.
Yeah.
From Ohio State. He's a tight end, but a move tight end.
Yeah.
Another defensive tackle, Mason with 2A Smith out of LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Dadrian Taylor Demerson, safety from Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Now here's an intriguing name. We've taken this name before and we like it. 117 running back from New Hampshire, Dylan Lobby. And when you have a running back from New Hampshire available on your board, you almost always take it. Isn't that the rule?
That is the rule.
Hard and fast.
That is the hard.
But also another linebacker from Texas. I don't know if you like him. Jalen Ford. Those are some possibilities. Ray Davis, running back from Kentucky.
I have Ray Davis ahead of Lobby. I would go Ray Davis. Let's go Ray Davis.
Ray Davis is picked at 123. Now, 127 and 238. I like this move here from the Vikings for 129, so you move back two spots, and you flip 238 into 177.
Mm-hmm.
Want to do that? So you're picking at 127, and Jared Wiley, the tight end, is still way down on the board available for you. Want to do it?
Yeah, let's do Jared Wiley.
Okay,
like
so we're taking the deal and then taking Wiley?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay. Oh, wait. Now you got 129 and 247 in exchange for 136 and 203, but I think you miss out on Wiley if you do that.
Mm.
So you want to move back seven, but then move up 43.
No. No, let's not move. Let's just take Wiley.
All right,
let's go Wiley.
Okay. So we've added a big tight end. Jared Wiley's 6'7", man.
He's legit size.
And it seems like all his highlights is him just settling down in space all by his lonesome and catching the ball. Okay, first pick of the sixth round is 177. We've acquired that in a trade. Top of the board right now says Javion Cohen, a guard out of Miami.
No.
Evan Williams, a safety from Oregon.
Yes, I love
like
that
him.
Guy.
Okay,
I love him.
You want to do that?
Yes. He's I love
Texan.
That guy.
He's a Texan. Now, as we cycle through all of our picks, we've got one remaining seventh rounder at 247 overall. Top of the board, tight end A.J. Barner, tight end McCallum Castles, tight end Tip Ryman, defensive tackle Jomri Kroma.
James Madison.
Yep. I mean, there's a bunch of names.
What do you have, a corner?
Well, a corner, and that's one of the fun things. You can go to defense and you can click on cornerback. You've got Micah Abraham from Marshall, Marcellus Dial from South Carolina, Al Blades Jr. out of Duke.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Here's a name, Quantez Stiggers.
Yes.
Cornerback out of the CFL from Toronto.
Do it.
He's probably not going to last that long, right?
No, I don't think he is.
Yeah. So we'll add him. Okay. Yeah. So our
tremendous story, by the way.
Our draft is complete. And to rewind, we trade it back. We've got big, bad Tavondre Sweat.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fullback who moonlighted as a defensive tackle or vice versa.
Yeah.
We've got Roman Wilson, Mr. Separator, out of Michigan. Marshawn Kneeland, he was a guy who fell to us, an edge. Really nice player out of Western Michigan. Ray Davis is a running back that you like a lot from Kentucky. Jared Wiley, an enormous tight end from TCU. A safety in Evan Williams. And a corner in Quantez Stigger. Plus, next year's Browns second. I think the Browns regressed myself, so I think that's going to be a decent pick. Now you have 3 second rounders, but go a little bit more into Quantez Stiggers, please.
He ended up going to the CFL. And for whatever reason, there are some NFL rules such that I guess he never entered a draft at any point. So he's still draft eligible. So he decided, well, okay, I'm going to put my name into the draft mix after, I want to say, he was rookie of the year for the Toronto Argonauts in the CFL. So he ends up going to the Shrine Bowl, East-West Shrine Bowl. Had a really, really good East-West Shrine Bowl. And before you know it, his name is kind of out there as, hey, this guy's got professional football experience. I mean, I know it's the CFL. I know it's a little bit different game.
Maybe you're a pro.
Really,
you're a pro.
Good.
That matters.
Yeah,
that really matters.
Exactly. When you're a pro, it absolutely matters.
It's a different sport,
matters.
Basically, but it still matters.
It absolutely matters. And that's tremendous stuff. So from that standpoint, getting him in the seventh round, I think there are going to be enough teams that are going to have to dig in his background. You kind of wonder, like, why did he end up kind of going this route? You know, is there something else there? But man, he is a heck of a player, a really, really good player. And one of the best names you're going to find, Quantez Stiggers.
Yes.
Very interesting prospect. And on In Lab, we kind of geek out. So there you go. Appreciate you guys being with Mark and I and Drew today. A big thanks to Christian Harris. A big thanks to Jimmy Ward, who joined us in the first segment. If you missed it, if you just turn on and go, oh, man, I miss Jimmy Ward, just go get our podcast page. Check out Vandermeer's View, In the Lab. We got all of that right there, and obviously all of our all-access shows, we got those for you as well. Appreciate you guys being here. Have a great weekend. It's a beautiful night. Enjoy it. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. From the owners' meetings, Mark will be there interviewing all the luminaries that you want to hear from. That will be next week. Appreciate you guys being here. As always, go Texans.